Morning, everyone. Today's daf and yomadaf samach aleph. Again, we deeply appreciate the support from the Lupin Foundation for sponsoring the daf. Learning that we do zecher nishmas Lois Zaltzman. The Gemara is we're on the bottom of samach amid beis, and we are continuing a discussion that really began yesterday after having gone over the seder avoda regarding the dam that sprinkled in the kodesh hakodashim in the heichal and by the mizbeach. So then the Mishnayos, the last Mishnah, the fifth parak of Yuma, which we did yesterday, talked about Seder. Talked about the importance of order. Philly just called everyone to order. the importance of order, how significant order becomes, and how essential order is. In other words, if the order is done out of, so then you have to go back and you have to do it again. That is clear from the Pesukim. The Torah says the word chukah. Chukah means that this is the way it has to be done, and there cannot be any type of deviation. Good. That's clear. What part of Yom Kippur is order is essential? So from the Mishnah, before I get to that point, I'm sorry, let me back up one more step. Let's just go back to the basic point the Mishnah made. I'm in Samach, I'm in Aleph, and I'm reading from the Gemara, just reviewing, but the Gemara discussed the order as being so essential that you have to redo. If you do things out of order, what exactly, at what point do you have to go back to? I mean, you have to go all the way back to the beginning? So no, you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. Where do you have to go back to exactly if something went out of order? So that was a machlokas in our Mishnah. A machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama, which we'll call Reb Meir, as we'll see over the course of today's daf, Tanakhama's Reb Meir, versus Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. Reb Meir's of the opinion that if, let's say, you sprinkle the blood inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you went out of order. Now, the Torah tells us that first you have to sprinkle the blood of the bull, and then you have to sprinkle the blood of the goat. And you confuse the two. So you go back. Where do you go back to? The beginning of the sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim is viewed as one set. So you have to go back to the beginning. Let's say you successfully did the Hazah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you move to the Heichal, where you're sprinkling in the direction of the Paroches, and you get something there out of order. So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, according to Rav Meir of our Mishnah, you simply go back to the beginning of the Paroches. You don't have to go back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, according to Rav Meir of our Mishnah, order is essential. Messing up the order requires you to go back, but only to go back to each unit. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is considered one unit. The Heichal, and when I say Heichal, I mean sprinkling in the direction of the Paroches is considered one unit, and the Mizbeach Hazav is also considered one unit. Good. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, you just simply pick it up where you left off. That's all. There's no units, there's no such thing as units. Wherever you messed up, you just simply pick it up where you left off. Yeah. Okay. Meaning, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, you could be in the middle of the sprinkling of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and let's say the blood spills. So you just simply, whatever number you were up to, just pick it up right there. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, you got to go back to the beginning. And start from number one again. Okay, that was one basic machlokas, which we're going to come back to later this morning. Another basic machlokas, which we saw yesterday, is which parts of the avodah are essential, are ma'akev, and the order is going to be ma'akev. So, that was also another machlokas that we saw yesterday in the Gemara. The Gemara in the bottom of Samach Amud Aleph brought down a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda says, the order that is essential is only the avodah that's done bifnim. And when the Gemara says the word bifnim, Rashi points out yesterday's daf, bifnim means in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now you could have gone another direction, but Rashi doesn't, and you'll see over the course of today's daf, I kind of get why Rashi doesn't do that, but bifnim means Kodesh HaKadoshim. So according to Rav Yehuda, only those hazos that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim have to be done in a specific order. And if the orders are mixed around, so then you have to start back again. But according to Rav Yehuda, if the orders were messed around, were mixed up outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so it's not ma'akev. Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees. Rabbi Nechemiah says no. That the only... Sorry, he's expands. Order's essential for any avodah that's done by the Kohen Gadol while he's wearing his Big Day Lavan. If it's an avodah that he's wearing his Big Day Zav, Rashi yesterday's daf gave an example. Let's say the aisle, right? The ram of the Kohen Gadol. The ram of the Kohen Gadol is an olah. And he's not wearing his Big Day Lavan while offering the ram of the Kohen Gadol. He's wearing his Big Day Zav, his regular golden Big Day Kahuna Begadim. Okay? That didn't make sense, but okay. But anyway, but if he's wearing his Big Day Zav, it's the Seder is not Makif. All right. And then where Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, where does that machlokas generate from? So if we remember just quickly yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yochanan brought down that maybe they're arguing on the interpretation of the pasuk. The pasuk reads V'haisa zos lachem l'chukas olam achas bashana, and it's a question of what the achas is going on. Is achas going on makom, or is achas going on the dress of the Kohen Gadol? That was one possible suggestion. The Gemara ended up rejecting that suggestion. The Gemara says maybe it comes from the two miutim of the pasuk. The pasuk says chuka, and the pasuk says achas, right? The samach amud beis. I'm sorry. No, the Gemara says zos, and the Gemara says achas, right? The zos is a miut, and the achas is a miut. They're both coming to be limiting. So what are they coming to limit? So according to Rav Yehuda, it's coming to limit both big day zahav and makom, and the place where you're at. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, the only time that Seder is essential is only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when the Kohen Gadol is wearing his big galavan, as opposed to Rav Nechemiah. What does he do with the two miyutim? So one of the miyutim is for Big Day Zahav, meaning he has to be wearing his big galavan, and the other miyut is for Shirayim. The Gemara notes yesterday, it's a little bit problematic, because we know elsewhere that, according to Rav Nechemiah, Shirayim are, in fact, ma'akev. So the Gemara notes yesterday that was a problem, and Kasha. The Gemara says that we'll end off with yeah, that's difficult. I don't know what to do with that, but leave that as it may. That's where we got to yesterday. So we're in the Gemara now, and we are about 8-9 lines from the bottom. The Amud Amar Rabbi Chanina. So again, order is essential. It's just a question of where the order is essential. Rav Yehuda says in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, order is essential. Rav Nechemiah says any activity where the Kohen Gadol is wearing his big day lavan, order is essential. Okay, that's the machlokas we're right in the middle of right now, and the Gemara is quoting a statement by Rabbi Chanina. In the Gemara, we're starting off. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Ketar shechaf nekam sheshachto shapar lo asa v'lo klom. Let's say you do the chafina. The chafina, remember, the Kohen Gadol taking two handfuls of the ketares, and he does it when before the shechita of the par lo asa v'lo klom. He has done nothing. It's a totally insignificant act. Now, everyone remember? And if not, it's fine, because we'll remind each other. What's the order? What is the correct order for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So go back. I'm in the Chumash. I'm just going through Acharei Maos, Pasuk by Pasuk. First he does a Hagrala. Okay? Let's go back even a step before that. He takes shtei se'irim, pasuk zayim. He takes two goats. He stands them in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he selects. And he selects which one's going to be Lashem, which one's going to be Lazazel. Good. V'asir asher ala lav agarah Lazazel yamar chalif neshem chaper lav shalachos Lazazel midbara. Okay. Now, v'hikriv pasuk yid aleph. V'hikriv aronus parachatas v'shalom v'chiper ba'adov v'abeisov v'shacharus parachatas v'shalom. Then he takes the bowl. In other words, first the selection of the goats. Selects which one's Lazazel, which one's Lashem. Then he takes the bowl. This is Pasuk Yud Aleph. And he shechs the bowl. V'shacharas apar sherlo. Okay, now after shecht it, obviously the blood comes out. Blood is collected in the bowl. And remember what the Mishnah described? Someone's stirring. Because we're going to put the blood of the bowl on hold. Okay, so someone's going to be stirring. Now, Pasuk Yud Beis, V'lakach melo machta gachaleish melo mizbech melefnei Hashem melo chafnaf ketar samim daka vevi mi beis haparoches. Then the Kohen Gadol does chafina. It's Pasuk Yud Beis, where he takes his two hands and puts them into the ketaris in order to take a handful of ketaris out. Now, as we learned already in the Mishnah, he's going to transfer it to a spoon and bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But as we also pointed out, he didn't actually need to transfer it to a spoon. That wasn't the necessary part of the process. But he's going to be walking to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's got to be holding both the ketaris and the shovel full of coal. So therefore, he's going to consolidate the ketaris into one spoon. Good. Then Pasuk Yud Gimel, Benasan is ketaris aleisha lifnei Hashem v'chisa nana ketaris is a kapor asher leidut v'lo yamus. Then he's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, create the smoke by placing the ketaris on top of the coals. Now v'lakach midam apar v'isa betzbal penei kapors kimel lifnei kapors yaseh shavah pamim. Then he sprinkles. So, everyone following, after the shechita of the bowl, but before the blood application of the bowl in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's going to be chafina. He's going to both collect the ketores and bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to make the cloud of smoke in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he gets the blood of the ketores. Okay, that's the order.
The
that's together with the ketores.
Can you say it together?
I mean, the Torah puts in one pasuk. Okay. Now, the Gemara discusses, what if he takes that and puts that out of order? The Gemara quotes the statement by Rabbi Hanina. Now, mind you, Rabbi Hanina is an Amora. And Rabbi Hanina says that if the Ketoris is done before the Shechita of the Par, and in the Torah that's not the order, the Torah first has the Shechita of the Par, then the Chafina, but the Rabbi Hanina says if you put it out of order, lo asa v'lo klum. It's as if you didn't do the Chafina, that's a totally, it's a non-regarded act, and he's got to do the Chafina again after the Shechita of the Par. So far so good? Okay. So, Keman... And by the way, we probably would have to do the Shechita Sapar again. Okay, in other words, he did it out of order. So, this is an activity that's done in the Kodesh Kodashim or outside the Kodesh Kodashim?
Right.
Obviously outside. So now the statement by Rabbi Hanina seems to be only going according to Rabbi Nechemia, not Rabbi Yehuda. So, Kemandalo ki Rabbi Yehuda, di ki Rabbi Yehuda damar, ki ksivachuka bedvar manas, mibigdilavan, mibifnimu dehu kidichsev. So the Gemara says, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only Seder that's Ma'akev, the only order that's essential, is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And these are actions, activities that are not done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what are you telling me now? That Rabbi Hanina is making a statement that doesn't go in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. It now could be, but you know how the Gemara works. The Gemara never wants to pigeonhole an Amora into one Tana's position. So I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, no, it could be that Rabbi Hanina, the Amor, is going like Rabbi Yehuda. And Sarach Panim Kipanim Dami. And the Gemara gives a Yisod, a principle. And the principle is that the Chafina, what's going to happen with the Chafina? He's going to bring it into the Kodesh Kodashim. So though the action of the Chafina is done outside the Kodesh Kodashim, but because the purpose of him doing the Chafina is to bring it into the Kodesh Kodashim, so therefore in terms of Seder, it will have the same significance and the same essential nature as anything that's done in the Kodesh Kodashim. Gemara says that's why, even according to Rav Yehuda, this would be considered non-compliance in terms of order, and he's got to go back and redo both of those in the correct order. Gemara says, Tanani Machalo Gamar Matan Shibifnim Nishbach Adam Yavidam Acher V'Yachzor V'Yazeh B'Tchila Mibifnim. So Gemara says, let's look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that all the acts of Yom Kippur have to be done in order, and if I preempted one before the other, lost a klum, I didn't do anything. And then the Mishnah gives examples. What was the Mishnah's first example, which the Gemara is quoting right now? Hektim dama sir la dama par. I sprinkled the blood of the bull. Sorry, I sprinkled the blood of the goat before the blood of the bull. Yachzu v'yazem dama sir lacher dama par. So then I got to sprinkle the blood of the goat after the blood of the bull. Okay, fine. In other words, I did something out of order. I got to put it in its correct order. Now the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. This principle that we just laid out, that anything that's going to be done for the Kodesh HaKadoshim has the same rules, the same guidelines, which is, it's essential, so as if you're doing it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. So, what just happened? We sprinkled the blood of the goat before the blood of the bull. Ostensibly, the Mishnah is talking about which sprinkling? Number one, meaning in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what does that mean? It means now I've got to do it again in its correct order. But what's the correct order? Let's go back to the Chumash. Let's see the Chumash inside. The correct order is, first you shech the dam apar, then you do the chafina, then you make the cloud, then you go take the blood of the bull, and you sprinkle it, and then, v'shach ha-pasuk tezvav, v'shach ha-stir ha-chatas ha-shalam, v'yiviz damo l'mibes ha-paruch v'asas damo, ka'asher sol ha-dam apar, v'yizel sol ha-kapars l'fnei ha-kapars. Then you shech the seir. The shechting of the seir only happens after the sprinkling the blood of the bull. So now, the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. Based on this principle you just laid out, if you sprinkle the blood of the goat before the blood of the bull, so no good. But what is it when we're talking about now a correction, what should the correction be? The correction should be, I need to, well obviously I first sprinkle the blood of the bull, because that comes first, and then I have to shecht a goat, presumably all over again. And the goat that we just shechted, what happens to it? Tomorrow's daf. But it's an easy way to push that one away. But in other words, but I have to shecht again. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. And the Gemara asks, so, v'im isa, bottom line of Samach Hamad Beis, v'im isa yachzor v'yachpon mi ba'elei, what the Mishnah should have said is that yachzor, you should go back, and yachpon. Now, by the way, I made a big deal about the Shechita. Even before making a big deal about the Shechita, let's also make a big deal about the Chafina. The chafina also has to be done again. Because again, the chafina is litzorech kodesh hakadashim, which the Gemara lays out, according to both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, needs to be done in the correct order. And that order is essential. So the Gemara says, b'ktaras lo kamari. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're not talking about the ktaras. Meaning, you're right. Point well taken. That when the Kohen Gadol actually has to do it all over again, he's got to bring the blood of the bull and then do a chafina again. How come the Mishnah didn't mention it? The Mishnah is just not focused on the Ketaris right now. The Mishnah is just focused on the blood. In other words, the Mishnah is just simply telling us you have to correct the blood of the order of the blood. But truth of the matter is, you also have to go and take a new handful of, two handfuls of Ketaris. Amar Ula. Now the Gemara is going to make a big deal about the Shechita of the seer. Amar Ula, seer sheshach the korban and damash al par, lo asav lo klum. If you shech the goat prior to the blood application of the bull, lo asav lo klum. Again, you look at the Chumash is very clear. The shechting of the goat occurs after the sprinkling of the blood of the bull in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if you take it out of order, so the Shechita is simply not regarded to none. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's again take a look back at our Mishnah. Hikdin namasar ledamapar, yachzer v'yaza midamasir acher damapar. So, but again, let's take a look back at our Mishnah. What was the case of our Mishnah, the first case of our Mishnah? I switched around the order of the blood of the goat and the blood of the bull. So what did the Mishnah say? Okay, put it back in the right order. Meaning, first sprinkle the blood of the bull, and then afterwards sprinkle the blood of the goat. But to which the Gemara says, look, as far as Ketaris is concerned, the Gemara already dealt with that issue. How come the Mishnah didn't mention Ketaris? Okay, and Mishnah's not focusing on Ketaris right now. But you have to take the Ketaris again. But there's another issue. You gotta shech the goat all over again. Because the shechting of the goat must occur after the sprinkling of the bull. That's a problem. The Gemara says, V'imisa, yachzer v'yishcha mibayle, tirgama ula b'matana shebehecha, v'chein amaraf afas, b'matana shebehecha. So the Gemara gives a little bit of a different shot in the Mishnah. When we're going to learn that first case in the Mishnah, we assumed, and really for good reason, we assumed that was talking about the hazar that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara now is suggesting, nah, that's not what it's talking about. That's talking about the hazar that's done in the Hechel, right? What we call 2A and 2B. There, nothing else is coming between the sprinkling of the bull and the sprinkling of the goat. Meaning there, the sequence is very simple. Sprinkle first 8 times the blood of the bull, then sprinkle another 8 times the blood of the goat, and if you reverse the order, and if I do the goat before the bull, so I got to do the blood of the goat after the blood of the bull. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. And if that's what the Mishnah is talking about, then you understand how come the Mishnah didn't talk about shechting the goat all over again. Because the shechting of the goat all over again, that's only for 1A, 1B. Meaning between 1A and 1B, you have to shech the goat. Well, I was going to say obviously. It's not obvious because you could have said the shechting of the goat comes before 1A. No, but the Torah puts the shechting of the goat between 1A and 1B. So if in fact you did 1B before 1A, so that's a problem. And you have to start off with 1A, and then after doing 1A, which means the blood of the bull, then you have to shech the goat, and then you have to bring the blood in again. Now the fact that you already shechted the goat means get a new goat, do the act of shechita again. Okay, so that, but the Mishnah is not talking about 1A, 1B. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that the Mishnah is talking about 2A and 2B. Being that the Mishnah is talking about 2A and 2B, perfect. So in other words, now we understand what he messed up. All he messed up was just simply, he put 2B in front of 2A. Okay, so now just simply, do follow 2A with 2B. Okay, I tell you the truth, although I made it sound like everything's wonderful, the Mishnah does get a little bit choppy. Meaning, if you look back at the Mishnah, back on Samach Amud Aleph, you realize that the Mishnah really loses its flow. Meaning, fine. So the Mishnah makes a rule that everything has to be done in order. Then the Mishnah gives examples. If you mix up the blood of the goat and bull, sprinkling the goat before the bull, so you have to sprinkle the goat after the bull. And then it talks about blood spilling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then, the same thing is true in the Hechal, and the same thing is true in the Mizbech. So you see how the Mishnah went? The Mishnah went with Lefnai v'Lefnim, then went to the Hechal, then went to the Mizbech. Right? And now what the Gemara is essentially saying is that first example that's given the Mishnah, that's talking about the Hechal. So the Mishnah goes from Heichal to Kodesh HaKadoshim, back to the Heichal to the Mizbeach. Okay, so fine. It's not the end of the world. Just the Mishnah gets a little bit choppy then. Tana Rabbanan. V'chiper es Mikdash HaKodesh. Okay. The purpose of sprinkling all this blood, we know this, right? It's to provide a kapara. Pasuk Chaf. V'chila mikaper es HaKodesh v'es Ol Moed v'es Mizbeach v'ikriv es HaSeir HaChai. Okay. So the purpose of which is to provide a kapara. For all different aspects of the Beis HaMikdash. So v'chiper es Mikdash HaKodesh. So the Gemara explains what is that part of the pasuk referring to? Zelefnai v'lefnim. That refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ol Moed Zehechal. The Ol Moed is a reference to the Eichel. Eichel is just simply a term used for the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash, the building itself. Mizbeach k'mashmo, the Mizbeach is a reference to the Mizbeach. And Yechaper Elo Azaros, the Yechaper is a reference to the Azara. HaKohanim k'mashma'an, Im HaKal Elo Yisrael, Yechaper Elo HaLevim, Hushvu Kulan L'Kapara Achas, Shekula Mizkaprim B'Si'ir HaMishtaleach B'Shar Averos, Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. Okay. Basic machlokas that we're looking at right now, and the truth of the matter is we're going to come up and see this again later on in the Masechta as well, and that is, where's everyone getting their kapara from? Okay. Now basically, here's what we'll do. Just to understand this Gemara, we'll basically break up Averos into two categories. One which, if you've been with the Daf long enough, you'll know the division of the two Averos, but if you're new to this, you never heard this before. What's one Avera that we're going to be discussing? The one Avera that we're going to be discussing is Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. You violated you defiled the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. Somebody walked into the Beis HaMikdash while in the state of Tumah. That's one Avera. And then what we're going to call Shar Averos, every other Avera under the sun. In other words, and that's how we'll compartmentalize the two types of Averos. So again, one Avera is for Tumas Mikdash, and then the other Avera is Shar Averos. Everything else. Okay. Now, Kohanim. Now, the Jewish people, where are they going to get their kapar from? It's pretty clear. They're getting it from the Seir Mishalech. Okay. Pretty clear from the Psukim. I'm looking at now the next series of Psukim. Pasuk Chaf Al, V'samach Aaron Hashay Adav Al Rosh HaSeir HaChai V'Zvada Al Av, V'Zkol Avonos B'nei Yisrael. Aaron puts his hands onto the goat, obviously the Seir HaMishtaleach, and does vidui for all the Avonos B'nei Yisrael. V'Zkol B'Shem L'chol Chatasam V'Nasanos Al Rosh HaSeir V'Shilach B'Yad Ishiti HaMidbar. And then let's get rid of it, right? The original scapegoat. V'Nasan HaSeir Al Av V'Nasam El Eretz G'zera V'Shilach HaSeir B'Midbar. Okay. What's clear over here is that when the Kohen Gadol is doing the vidui on the Seir HaMishtaleach, so the Jewish people are getting a kapara for that. And a kapara for the which avera? Shar averos, meaning the multitude of averos that we did over the course of the year. Good. What about the Kohanim? What do the Kohanim receive their kapara?
They're not part of Bnei Israel.
So, are they not part of Bnei Israel? So Rabbi Yehuda says they are. So Rabbi Yehuda makes the argument that all the sprinkling that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal, by the Mizbeach, that's to provide a kapara for the Beis HaMikdash, specifically for the Avera of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav. But then vis-a-vis the Kohanim, they receive a kapara from the Seir HaMishtaleach. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zelefnai V'lefnim, Kapir b'damim halalu al tumah she'ira lefnai v'lefnim. Im nechnas adam sham b'tumah ve'ein ba yediyah b'sof. Rashi goes on to explain that if somebody walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, now, the chances of this happening are so minimal. We talked earlier in the daf regarding the workers who go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to do work over there. But who's walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim year-round? The answer is nobody. So, somebody actually walking in a state of tumah, somebody walking in period, is unlikely. Somebody walking into the state of Tumah, very unlikely. But if somebody does, so the sprinkling of the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim provides a kapara for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, Rashi goes on to say, Rashi over here is dealing with a technical issue. just to explain, if a person himself knows that he walked into the Beis HaMikdash while Tamei, meaning why did he go in if he was Tamei? He forgot. He had a momentary lapse. He was Tamei, he forgot, he goes in, he comes out, and all of a sudden, like the human memory does so well, he realizes, oh no, I was Tamei and I walked into the Beis HaMikdash. He has his own personal carbon that he needs to bring. Right, so the carbon olav yored. So what bothers Rashi over here is, why are we sprinkling blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal, if anyway the person himself is going to bring his own carbon to provide the kapara? So Rashi says, and it's a technical answer, but Rashi says, well, the sprinkling of the blood on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal provides a hagana, provides protection. Because until the person finds out, so how is he going to, what kapara is he going to receive? So without the idea achrona, without finding out that he was tummy when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash, so in the meantime, the sprinkling of the blood is going to provide a kapara.
Well, you already didn't give him a suffix that he didn't know whether he was a tummy or not.
No, he knew. It was a shogeg, so, meaning he inadvertently went in.
So what is the Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur carbon is there to protect him, this is how Rashi explains it, to protect him from any Yisurim in the meantime, meaning until he finds out.
Oh, I see. That gap between...
Correct.
He doesn't find out.
Absolutely correct. Now, the... good. And by the way, a fair question to ask is, why are we discussing this now? Meaning, all this is important, but why we... What is the segue to this discussion? And the answer is, as Rashi is about to point out, because now that you understand the purposes of the sprinkling, now we understand the sprinkling done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's a unit, because that provides a kapara for Kodesh HaKadoshim. The sprinkling that's done in the Azara, that's a unit, because that's providing kapara for the for any inadvertent tumah in the Heichal. So now that we understand that each one of them provides its own separate kapara, so now you understand, if the blood spills in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I got to start again from that set. If the blood spills in the Heichal, I got to start again from that set. I don't have to go back to the set of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because that kapara has been achieved. Right? So in other words, by explaining to us what the purpose of each sprinkling is, now we understand that if there's any mess up, he only has to go back now to the beginning of the set. At least according to Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah. Good. Skip a couple of Rashis. Hushvu kulan. Now Rashi's explaining. Now what about Shara Veros? Everybody's on the same playing field, and everybody, meaning Kohanim included, are getting their kapara from the Seer Mishalech. Rashi goes on to say, "Bahai chaper basra Kohanim levim v'Yisraelim v'tumas mikdash v'kadosh v'yev shalash v'sam sharei apar mechaper laKohanim v'Seer na'anas b'fnim haYisrael." In terms of tumas mikdash, Rashi explains that has to be divided, because we know we have blood of the bull and we have blood of the goat. Why the two bloods? The bull is for the Kohanim. The Kohen is doing vidui for the Kohanim. The bull is for the Kohanim, and the blood of the goat is for Bnei Yisrael. But that's just for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. However, when it comes to the Kapara for Shara Veros, for all other Veros, Hushvu Milamed Shekulam is Kapim B'Vidui Shal Seir Mishtalech B'Shara Veros Div Rav Yehuda. So according to Rav Yehuda, everybody, Jew and Kohen alike, Yisrael and Kohen alike, are getting the kapar for Shara Veros from the Seir Mishalech. That's all according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then, Rabbi Shimon Omer, back to the Gemara, second opinion of the Braisa, Kishem Shadam Asir Anas B'Pnim Mechapa Yisrael B'Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, Kach Dam Apar Mechapa El Kohanim B'Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. So just like we divided the Yisraelim and the Kohanim vis-a-vis the Avera of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, U'Kishem Shavidu Shasir Meshech Mechapa Yisrael B'Shar Averos, Kach Vidu Shapar Mechapa Al Kohanim B'Shar Averos. So too, the Kapar for Shar Averos is also going to be divided. The Averos of, the Shara Averos for the Kohanim are getting a Kapara through Par, and the Shara Averos for Yisrael are getting a Kapara through Seir. Period. Okay? And we'll come back and we'll discuss this more later on. Basically, to make a long Braisa a little bit shorter, where's the Kapara for the Kohanim for Shara Averos? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Seir Mishaleach. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Par. V'kila mechaper zekodesh zelufnei v'lufnim. O amoi zehechal. Mizbeach kamash ma'o. Malama Shikulan Kapara Kapara Bifne Atzman. Every one of them is its own separate kapara. Again, the point that we're bringing in now is similar to the previous brisa, that every series of hazaos provides its own kapara. The Kodesh HaKadoshim provides a kapara for Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Heichal provides kapara for the Heichal. Mizbech provides kapara for the Mizbech. Mikan Amru, Nasa Mixas, Matan Shebefnim, Nishmach Adam, Yavidam Achevi, Yitzchil, Bitzchil, Matan Shebefnim. Therefore, if the blood spills in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, let's say you just sprinkled the fourth Hazah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now what do you got to do? Go back to number one. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Armei Meino Maschal, Ala Mimakim Shepasuk. Now Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagree. This we saw on yesterday's daf. This was the Mishnah on Samach Amud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, you pick it up right where you left off. If let's say you did four Hazos, so next time you get blood, and the blood spills, and you get new blood, the next time you get blood, what do? Number five. So Makam Shepasuk. Gamar Zamatan Shebefnim Nishbach Adam Yavudam Achav Yatchav B'Tchilah B'Matan Shebehechal. Now, the brace is just illustrating case by case. Let's say you finished the hazaos in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You moved on now to the Heichal. You're sprinkling in the direction of the Parochas while standing in the Heichal. So, Nasa, Mikzas Matan Shebeichal, Nishmach Adam Yavidam Achav Yatchav B'Tchilah B'Heichal. So, according to the Tanakhama, which is Rebbe Meir, let's say the blood spills in the Heichal. Let's say I did the fourth hazaos in the Heichal, in the direction of the Parochas of the curtain. And now the blood spills. So, what do I do? According to the Tanakhama, start again. But don't go back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's taken care of. That kapara has been achieved. Start again now in the Heichal. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Armim, Eino Maschal, Makom Shepasuk. And again, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, just pick it up where you left off. You did four hazos. This is now number five. Now we're moving on to number three. Hazar number three, which is by the Mizbeach. How many hazos are there by the Mizbeach? A total of 11. Four on the four corners, plus another seven on top. So 11. So now, so miktas matan shebe mizbeach v'nishbach adam yavidam achev yitcha b'tchila v'matan osa mizbeach. Now let's say you're somewhere in the middle of 1 through 11. Let's say you did 4, and now the blood spilled, and it's unrecoverable. So what do? I got to get new bloods again, and I got to sprinkle, but where do I pick it up from? According to Rabbi Meir, number 1 of the mizbeach, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim has been completed. Check. The Heichal has been completed. Check. Now we're up to the Mizbeach. I know the Mizbeach is in the Heichal. I hope that's not too confusing. But now he's up to the Mizbeach. And he's got to pick it up, number one, sprinkling number one in the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amrei Mimakom Shepasuk U'Matchil. And then again, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, consistent with their viewpoint, pick it up where you left off. Gamar Matan Shem Mizbeach V'Nishbach Adam. Now, let's say he did the Mizbeach. Okay, what's left? So he did 1A, 1B. He did 2A, 2B. He did 3A and B. Now what's left? Shirayim. That's the leftovers. So what do we learn back in the Mishnah? We learned that he goes out to the Azara. He goes to the western side of the Mizbeach and pours it on the Yesod HaMizbeach, on the foundation of the Mizbeach. But what if he spilled the blood? After doing the Mizbeach, en route to the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So Nishbach Adam Devar Hakol L'Makve. So this price is of the opinion that Shirayim, meaning obviously it's a mitzvah to pour the Shirayim on the Yesod, but if he doesn't have it, okay. Fine. That was a long brisa, right? And the brisa, but basically the brisa went through every case scenario, taking us through set number one, set number two, and set number three. And again, it's a consistent machlokus between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir says you go back to the top of that particular order, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon consistently says, pick it up where you left off. Which one do we go? Like, I assume like Rabbi Meir. I don't know, but I assume. Okay. But in the Mishnah, it's expressed as a Tanakhama. So, okay. I'm not sure. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Hashem Mikra Echad Darshu. Now, sources, meaning where does it come from? So Rav Yochanan says, they're both looking at the same pasuk, but drawing two different conclusions. The pasuk says, Midam chatas ha-kippurim achas b'shana, from the blood of the chatas ha-kippurim once a year. Rabbi Meir savar chatas achas amartalach v'lo shtei chatos. So Rabbi Meir says, chatas achas. you have to get a kapar from one animal. You can't have a tag team of animals providing you a kapara. So in other words, when I'm in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I'm in the middle of my sprinklings, and the blood spills, I can't now use another animal, and between the two animals, we're going to get a kapara. No. One animal has to serve as a kapara. Now, because every one of them is its own independent unit, so therefore we don't have to back up to a previous unit. But for each unit, for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the Heichal, for the Mizbeach, it has to be one animal providing the kapara.
Why doesn't you just use the term akad to say that all the sprinklers is just one unit?
Right.
Instead of the one animal.
You could have gone to that extent. But again, that's why the Gemara gives us that like whole introductory paragraph where each one is its own separate mission. Right? That's why the Gemara above, you know, went into detail how Kodesh HaKadoshim provides its each one is its own unit.
But I'm saying each unit is sprinkling.
Right.
Like this.
Okay,
like you could.
The Gemara, nowhere in the Gemara does that Gemara make that argument, but okay. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Starvi, Chitui Achas, Amatalach, Veloshne Chituyim. Now, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, same pasuk, but different conclusion. Chitui means sprinkling, right? The Chait means sin, but in the context of Karban, Chitui means sprinkling. One sprinkling. Meaning, once you sprinkled, count it. I don't care where you're at. In other words, you could have done number four in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Don't repeat number four. Chitui achas. Each sprinkling is its own separate unit. And so therefore, once you've done number four, that gets a check. And now, if the blood is spilled and you're getting new blood from a new animal, go to number five. Don't repeat number one through four. Tanya. Okay? Period. Adkan. Okay, where do we leave ourselves off? A machlokus l'shem shemayim, right? Called machlokus l'shem shemayim. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says it's kayim la'olam vayed, right? It lasts forever. So we saw the machlokus in the Mishnah back on Samach Amud Aleph. We're seeing the machlokus again on the Braisos and Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Good. So machlokus in terms of if the blood spills, what do I go back to? Do I go to back to the beginning of the unit? Rabbi Meir says yes, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon say no. You don't. You keep it. You pick it up right where you left off. Okay. We're gonna change gears a little bit, and we're gonna leave the world of Yom Kippur for the next couple of minutes, and we're gonna go back up a couple parakim in Vayikra. Today's two topics of discussion: the Daf Yomi. One is Yom Kippur, which to us is Torah, but not Lamaisa, and the other topic is also Torah of Alo Lamaisa, and that's the Taharas HaMetzorah, the purification of the Metzorah. The Metzorah goes through a lengthy purification process. After a person is declared to be a Metzorah by Kohen, so he's sequestered, he's excused. You can leave the premises now, and Badad Yeshev, he sits by himself, and he goes through a Tahara process. And that Tahara process is a lengthy process. We're going to be focusing on day 8. Day 8 of the process starts somewhere about in Perikid Dalid, right, Yom HaShvi'i Galachas Kol Sa'aro. I'm just giving a little bit of background so we understand what's about to happen in the Gemara.
Are you going through this now?
You'll see. the point will be obvious, but we just got to go over the background, otherwise we're going to get lost. So, on day 7, what does he do? Yigalachis kol saro es rosho v'esikno, es zikano v'esgabos enav, es kol saro, yigalach v'kibetz b'gadav rachatz b'soro b'mayim v'tahir. So the first thing he needs to do on day 7 is an entire shave of all the hairs of everywhere in his body. Uvayom ha-shmini. Then we get to day 8 of the purification. Yikach shnei kvasim tamimim, he takes 2 sheep. Kivsa achat b'ashnasa tamima, and a 3rd sheep. Key words for our discussion today. And he takes 2 sheep. He's got 2 female sheep. And 2 male sheep, 1 female sheep. And 3 esronim of flour mixed with oil. And 1 log of oil. And the Kohen is standing next to the Metzorah who is now receiving this purification. One kevis is going to be an asham, right? One male sheep is going to be serving as a carbon asham. Now he does tenufa, which is the waving. Now he shechts the kevis, the same place where he shechts the chatas, meaning in the north. And Kodesh Kodesh Shem Hu. And the Chatas is like the Asham. And you'll see later on why the Torah has to tell us that. V'lakach ha'kol midama Hashem v'nasana konis al tenuch ozen ha'mitaher yamaniz v'abon yado yamaniz v'abon raglo yamaniz. Now, the Kohen is going to take from the blood of the Asham and apply the blood to the ear, right earlobe of the Mitzorah, and on the right thumb of the Mitzorah, and on the right big toe of the Mitzorah. By the way, just in terms of helping us visualize, where's the Mitzorah standing? Not in the Azara. He can't stand in the Azara. He hasn't yet finished his Tahara process. So he's standing outside the Azara. But at the same time, where's the Kohen with the blood? In the Azara. So this makes for somewhat of a difficulty. So how can the Mitzorah stand outside and the Kohen and the blood be inside? Answer is that the Kohen's right at the doorway, right? Shani Kanor, the Nicanor gate, and he inserts his ear into the Azara. There must be somewhere where we know exactly where the line is. He sticks his right hand into the Azara. He sticks his right toe into the Azara. So therefore, it's only Bia B'miktzas. It's only a partial entrance into the Azara. How is that allowed? Answer, it's allowed. It's for the purpose of the purification of the Mitzorah. V'lakach ha'kol miloga shaman. Now follow carefully here with the oil. And the Kohen is going to take for the Lok Shaman, V'yatzaka kafa kones malis, and he pours it onto another Kohen's hand, a left hand of another Kohen. Not a left-handed Kohen, just simply the left hand. V'taval kones etzbo yamanis min Hashem asher al kapo, hasmalit v'hiza min Hashem be'etzbo sheva pamin. And now the Kohen, who has the oil in his left hand, is going to take his right hand, dip it into the oil, and sprinkle it into the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, seven times. Okay, now you're starting to see why we're discussing this now. Omi yeser Hashem in Asher Kapo. Now, whatever's left over from the oil in his hand, yitena kohen al tenochos and a meter yamanis v'abon yado yamanis v'abon raglo yamanis al dam ha'asham. So you take the oil and you apply it to the mitzvah on the same spots where you hit him with the blood of the asham. And if there's anything left over, support it on the head of the Mitzorah. So far, so good. Everyone got it? I'm not asking if you understand. that's not up for consideration. Just making sure that everyone knows what we're talking about. Okay. We are now in the Gemara Tanya. So Amar Rebbe, li chalak Rebbe Yaakov Belogan. So Rebbe says, look, Rebbe Yaakov made a distinction, meaning we have been discussing now, today and yesterday, the order of the sprinkling of the blood on Yom Kippur, right? 16 done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Par and Seir, 16 by the Paroches, and another 11 by the Mizbech. And we pointed out how each one of them is a unit. And so therefore, if I get stuck somewhere in the middle, if I lose the blood somewhere in the middle, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I start at the beginning. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon argue. If I get stuck somewhere in the middle of the Parochas, I got to start at the beginning of the Parochas. Again, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon argue. Fine. Now, we have a similar circumstance by the oil of the Mitzorah. We're on day 8. There's going to be 7 sprinklings of the oil in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's going to be an application on the Mitzorah. And then there's going to be a pouring of whatever's left on the head of the Mitzorah. So in other words, the oil also is done in stages. Stage 1, 7 sprinklings. Stage 2, 3 applications to the Mitzorah. Earlobe, right thumb, right toe. Stage 3, whatever's left is poured on his head. Similar. And the Gemara is going to note, are we going to be saying the same thing regarding the Mitzorah? Meaning, are each one of these considered its own separate unit? Is Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon going to maintain that if I lose the oil anywhere in the process, I just pick it up where I left off? So to this now, Rabbi says, Rabbi Yaakov taught me that there's a difference. There's a difference between the blood on Yom Kippur and the oil of the Mitzorah. Below the Gemara says, but is that true? Are you right? V'hatanya. But the Gemara says, but I have a braisa. No, so mixas bahona matana shebifni menishbachalo yavi lo gacher v'yatzchel b'tchila b'matana shebehechal. So if I the if the log spills, so I have to bring new log and I have to start again from the beginning. That's Shitas Rabbi Meir. That's good. And then Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omri Memakam Shapasukum Maschil, and they say, no, you pick it up from where you left off. Meaning with the Braisa tells us that the same machlokus that we had regarding Yom Kippur is the same machlokus by the Mitzorah. If I did the digit applications and somewhere in the middle the blood got spilled, I gotta go back to the beginning of the digit applications. No, so Mikdash Matanos Bebahonos V'Nishbachalog Yaviloga Chaviyatcha B'Tchilah B'Matanos Bebahonos. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Army Mamakir Shapasuk Umaschel. And again, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon say no. Pick it up where you left off. Gamar Matanos Bebahonos V'Nishbachalog Divrei Akol Matanos Shorosh Loma Akvos. And then when you get to the, when you finish with the digit applications, the ear and the two thumbs, the right hand thumb and the big toe thumb. So then, and all you're left with is Shirayim. And the blood and the oil spills. Okay, so that's fine. In other words, it's obviously there's a mitzvah to pour it on the head, but it's not, that's not ma'akev. So, what's the problem? The problem is there is no difference. The machlokus that we have between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon regarding the blood of Yom Kippur is the same exact machlokus by the mitzvah. So Ema, so the Gemara says fine. So all we're going to do is just make one small correction, and that is. Lishan Rabbi Yaakov Belugin. Rabbi Yaakov taught me that the same machlokas that you have regarding vis-a-vis Yom Kippur and the blood Yom Kippur is the same exact machlokas by the Mitzorah. Amar Mar, the Gemara says, spends a little bit more time with the Mitzorah. Matanos HaRosh Ein Ma'akvos Ma'itayma. Now the Matanah of the Rosh is not Ma'akev. You did the seven sprinklings of the oil to the base of Mikdash. You did the application on the ear and the thumb and the toe of the Mitzorah. And then the blood spills, and then I fail to pour the whatever's remaining on his head. Okay. It's not Ma'akev. The Gemara says, how do I know that? So the Gemara says, the Torah uses the word Nosar. It's left over. The Gemara says, okay, Torah uses the word Nosar by Mincha. And what do you want to tell me? It's just Nosar. No, by a Mincha. Nosar is essential. Right? That's the Shirayim of a Mincha is essential. So the Gemara says, Hachinami Dola Me'akve, Shani Hasan Dichtiv, Umi Yeser, V'Hanosar. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why by the Mitzorah, it's okay. It's okay because when the Torah describes it, the Torah gives it two terminologies. Pasuk Yud Zayin and Perek Yud Aleph. Umi Yeser Hashem Asher Kapo Yitena Kona Tenuchos and Amitar Yemanis. So in other words, when you get to the Bahonos, when you get to the digits, the extremities, the earlobe and the thumb and the toe, the Torah already referred to that as Yeser. That's already left over. And now when we get to the head, V'Hanosu B'Shem Pasuk Yud Ches, V'Hanosu B'Shem Asher Kapo Kona Yitena Rosh Amitahir, That's leftover of the leftover. So the Gemara says that's why that's not essential. I'm Rav Yochanan, top of Samach Alef Amid Beis. Asher Mitzor Sheshachter Shelo Lishma Banal Machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Let's say the Asher Mitzor was Shechten, and with a Shelo Lishma Machshava, day one of Zvachim. Remember we talked about how when you shecht the carbon Shelo Lishma. Carbon's okay, but the owner of the carbon did not receive a kapara. Okay. Here I shechted the carbon asham shelo lishmo. And now what? So Rabbi Meir says, okay, you botched it up. What do? You go beginning to the beginning of a set. In this case, the beginning of a set means bring a new carbon asham and shechted again.
Isn't carbon asham a subcategory of carbon kata?
According to one opinion in the Gemara Zvachim. And if I remember correctly, Rabbi Lazar.
Right. So you would hold that.
Correct, but the Gemara here seems to be just not regarding his opinion. Okay, so the machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, banu the machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir damer yavi acher v'yatzka b'tchila hachanami yavi acher v'yishchot. So according to Rabbi Meir, good. Go back to the beginning of the set. Now, what about Rabbi Lazar? Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Sharmi memakush apasuk mishamu maschil. You see, they're going to be in a tough spot. Because their position is pick it up from where you left off. Yeah, what do you mean? Well, in other words, don't start again. Well, if I don't start again, so pick it up where I left off. Yeah, but where I left off now is I have an animal that's dead. So I can't pick it up from where I left off. Hacha ein lo takana. So what the Gemara now wants to argue is that according to Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, because they say pick it up where you left off, which normally would serve as a leniency, it just simply means, well, okay, here's where we left off, pick it up from here. But in this particular scenario, you're kind of stuck.
Why can't you bring another Asham?
You can't bring another Asham because you brought an Asham. Meaning you offered an Asham.
Everything completed it. I mean,
okay, so you want to argue that the Asham is just like totally disregarded. Yeah, which is fine, but the Gemara right now is arguing, no, that according to Rabbi Elazar and Shimon, it still was an Asham, and pick it up from where I left off, but picking up from where I left off means I'm kind of stuck.
It was like a partial completion because it was like sudden death.
Right. And so therefore we're going to now enter into a world of halacha where certain things are just uncorrectable. Right? Uncorrectable mistakes. Right? The Mishnah elsewhere talk about mistakes that are uncorrectable. Prime example of that, of course, is the creation of a mamzer, where they made the parents made a terrible mistake, and the child now is a mamzer, and however much tshuva they do, the mistake is uncorrectable. So here too, right? I don't know, being a mitzvah, confined to being a mitzvah for the rest of your life, okay. I mean, that's, it's bad. It's just not as bad as a mamzer. I mean, again, I'm gauging, so, but I don't know if I would get much disagreement. Maskev l'Rav Chista v'ha osok siv. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Torah says oso, and that's a limitation, meaning, and what the Gemara is now trying to argue is, this is your one-shot opportunity. If you mess it up, you don't get to do it again. Meaning what the Gemara now is trying to argue is that even according to Rav Meir, you don't get a do-over. Kashi, the Gemara says, oh, it's difficult. You're right. The Torah does say the word Oso. Tanya Kavah says to Rav Yochanan, but the Gemara points out that we have a braisa that goes like Rav Yochanan. Asher Mitzor Sheshachtu Shalosh Shmo Shalosh Nasa Midamu Lagabe Mahonos Hari Ze'ola Lagabe Mizbeach. So the Asham that was shechted with a non-proper intent. Okay, so the animal itself serves now as is treated like a carbon olam. And what do? You get a new carbon asham. So I have a brisa, and the brisa says that you get a new carbon asham. Sounds like you get a redo. Now, you want to argue that according to Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, you don't get a redo, fine. The brisa is not going like Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Brisa has got to be going like somebody. Ostensibly, the brisa is going like Rav Meir. Fine. So according to Rav Meir, you know what sarach means? Sarach means you need to bring another one, but I'm really sorry, you can't. It's just not available. The Gemara says, really? Brises do that? Brises write in such a way where sarach, but sorry. Tanita, sarach takana. And the Gemara says, yeah, that's precedented. Yes. Yes, vahatanya. Nazir memura. Let's say you have a Nazir who's bald. Okay, what's so bad about being a Nazir who's bald? I'll tell you the problem. The end of a Nazir is he has to shave. So how are you going to shave if you're bald? Right?
But the thing is that he shaves his eyebrows and everything. Right?
Memurat over here seems to indicate, totally, meaning a hairless mitzvah.
He's missing everything. Yeah.
Let's say yes, just for the purpose of making a point. So, Beishamay Omer Mitzarach Havar Tara, Beishamay Omer Mitzarach Havar Tara. So, you have no hair. Do you need to shave?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a machlok between Beishamay and Beishamay. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion, no, you don't need to shave, because the purpose of shaving is removing the hair. Here, he's good. Cohen looks at him and says, okay, you're good. No shave necessary. Now, but here's the point. Rabbi Beis Shammai says he needs to shave. That doesn't mean that you actually take a razor and put it over his body. It means he needs a shave, and he has no hair, so therefore there's nothing to shave, so you know what? You're stuck. For the rest of your life, you're stuck as being this Nazir. A Nazir who has no ability to conclude his Nazirus. So what do you see? You see that at least the Tanaim speak in such a manner.
But a Nazir going into Nazirut, if you notice he's not going to have the hair, why would you do right. Nazir never?
Okay, that's a practical issue. In other words, you're being too pragmatic. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Gemara's point right now is that you see Tanaim do speak in such a manner where the word sarach is used not in the context of, and here's what you're going to do, but this is what you need to do, and I'm really sorry, but you can't do it, and life will go on, and okay, no wine for you for the rest of your life. Okay, and you're being realistic in this whole discussion. which is good, but not to, the Gemara is just making one simple point. I kind of will stop over here. So again, today finished up with Seder in terms of the significance of Seder in the Beis Hamikdash, and again, big major machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia in terms of where Seder is significant, either in the Kodesh Kodashim or any time the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Big Day Lavan. And then the Gemara made a leap where not only is Seder going to be significant regarding the blood on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, but also the Log Shemin regarding the Mitzorah, where just like I have different sets of blood applications for Yom Kippur, I also have different oil applications for the Mitzorah, and again, same achlokas between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of whether I go back to the beginning of the set or I pick it up from where I left off. And then the Gemara, and we'll finish up the Perek, God willing, tomorrow. The Gemara is just on the topic of Mitzorah. We're going to stay a little bit with Mitzorah just to finish off the Perek.